Oh, I praise you, God. I praise you, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy you came to church today? Amen. Come on, I said, aren't you happy you came to church today? Amen. Hallelujah. If you've not felt the Spirit of God yet, praise the Lord, then it's time maybe you shut out the world and just tune in, because God's here today. Amen. Hallelujah. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. Hallelujah. That means we've got liberty. I'm not shackled down by fear or regret or alcoholism or addiction. I've got liberty to dance and to shout and to praise. Come on, I can celebrate in the presence of God because I've got liberty by the Holy Ghost. Somebody go ahead. Why don't you take another minute just to celebrate? Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Sometimes we take a lot of time to focus on the do nots. Hallelujah. But today I just want to celebrate in what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. And the fact that I am saved and set free, sanctified, delivered. Hallelujah. There's no chains on me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why I can throw a party for the Lord. Amen. And celebrate. Praise God. It's so good to have each and every one of you with us. Our guests, God bless you. God bless you again. Thank you for showing up and coming, and everybody else. And take me a while to greet everyone. Tony, it's good to see you again, my friend. God bless you. And everyone else. Let's get into the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. I want to say I am so thankful for this worship group up here. Amen. Who leads us into worship and who is, they take time out of their busy schedules to practice and to come together to work towards doing something that brings glory to God, that is worshipful. I'm thankful for them. And honestly, I just wish I wasn't behind the piano. I wish I could have been out here just worshiping with you, hallelujah, and dancing and shouting and all that, praise the Lord. I think that's all right. We should do a little bit more today, amen. Let's do a little bit more dancing and shouting and running, praise God, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, I do want to encourage you, please stay after service. Again, the party doesn't end after with service, hallelujah. But we're going to take the party in the fellowship room. We're going to have cake and popcorn and lemonade and tea and all that. Right now, every Sunday, we do popcorn and lemonade for the months of June and July, just as an incentive to try to hold you here even longer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Not because we just want you to be here, but because we want you to get to know one another and to get to know people in the church. Again, we're not meant to be just people who gather. We are the household of God. You and I got the same daddy. Hallelujah. That means we can be family, right? Praise God. And so we should treat each other as such. So please stay after service. Let's continue the celebration. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That took a sharp turn there, didn't it? Hallelujah. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Listen, there's going to be a lot of voices that are going to say otherwise. Well, let me just go ahead and say there's going to be a lot of churches out there that are going to suggest that these things are okay. But he says, be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I'm sorry, but every single one of us just got kicked out. Every single one of us just got kicked out. No opportunity to inherit the kingdom of God. Because I don't know about you, but I fall under that list. Or let me better say it, I fell under that list. Because verse 11 says this, and such were some of you. Hallelujah. That might have been who you were before. That's not who you are today. Hallelujah. Why is that? Because you've been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If that's you today, hallelujah, why don't you put your Bibles down and just say, thank you, Jesus, for washing me, sanctifying me, justifying me by your name, by giving me your Spirit, by blessing me and bringing me out. Out, Lord God, of all the things I once were in, Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. Today, my sermon is simple, and I'll be honest, I don't know where we're going, how we're doing it. I just put a whole bunch of verses in here, and we'll see what God wants to do. But today, I just want to talk about celebrating our salvation. Anybody else know today that you are saved? By the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody got a testimony today? Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. It's dangerous when pastor leaves the platform. That means he's going to meddle. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, I'm so thankful for the salvation of the Lord. I'm so thankful where the Lord has brought me from. Hallelujah, because I don't know where you came from, but I've come from a place of depression and sorrow. I come from a place of suicidal thoughts. I come from a place of darkness, a place of addiction, a place where I've lost my sensibility. I come from a dark place, and I can imagine today that the darkness that God brought me out of is probably nowhere compared to the darkness you've been brought out of, but it was my darkness. They were my chains that were on me. It was my prison that I was stuck in. But then all of a sudden, the Lord came and the Lord delivered me and set me free. Hallelujah. I'd imagine if I were to pass around this microphone, we would hear some incredible testimonies. Places of the lowest of lows. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? The Bible talks about it like it's the miry clay. Why is that? It's because it's a pit that you get stuck in. A darkness that overwhelms you. A sin that captures you and holds you. You notice that the passage of Scripture, it references not just things, but identities. Anybody know what that's like, where things become an identity? My sin was not just something that I did. It became part of who I am. And it became part of my reputation. It became part of what everybody else saw in me. They saw me as that thing. Again, I was young when I changed my life, and when God changed my life. I was 14 years old. Even at 14, I had tasted enough of the world to know it wasn't enough for me. And to be honest, I didn't know if God was either. I had fallen into sin. I'd done things that I thought I'd never do. Things that I didn't want to do. But my flesh was stronger than I was. My cravings overwhelmed me. My desires, it overran my sense of self-worth. And I dove headlong into sin. Now I'm so thankful that I didn't do things that I couldn't come back from, but man, I was so close. And there's people today where your past, it's still there because you did fall into things that you couldn't come back from. You know, sometimes he saves us from the repercussions of the spiritual state of sin, but we still have to deal with the physical repercussions of our sins. And I had fallen into a place of such regret and pain. I still remember it like it was yesterday, Brother Judas, laying in bed in the darkness. And I started just thinking about all my life. Started to ask the big question. What's the point? Is this really why I'm here? I can't control my urges. The only satisfaction I get is to go hang out and be with some of my friends. But then I leave them and I have to go work. And at 14, I was working a full-time job and I'd work all day just to go hang out at my friends at night. And the next day I'd start it over again. And it was like this routine that just kept going on and on and on. I said, God, is this really all that life has for me? Now, thankfully, I was a pastor's son. Thankfully, I knew where to turn. Thankfully, I knew the name Jesus. I knew the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I tell you, that night, I remember it like it was yesterday, laying in bed. I prayed and I told God, I said, God, I'm going to give you one more turn, one more shot, God, but this is it. I said, if you don't radically change things for me this time, then I'm going to go to every sin I've ever heard of, and when I'm done living it up, I'm going to take my life because I know it's not worth living how it is now. I gave God an ultimatum. And I said, God, you got to do it now or never. It's now or it's never. There's some people today, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. You're at that moment right now, hallelujah, where you've got to come to a it's now or it's never. Either I'm going to surrender my life to Christ and see what the Lord has for me, or I'm going to lose all opportunities to do it, and I'm going to dive deep into the pit of sin. Oh, I'm here to tell you, if you will do like I did, call out to Jesus, He will save you. He will deliver you. He will set you free. He will bring you out. He will make it all better again. He did it for me. Hallelujah. That was 22 years ago. 22 years ago for me, Brother Marty, where I prayed that prayer. And let me tell you, hallelujah, I gave it all up to Him, and He gave it all to me. Everything I've got that's good today, it's because I gave my life to Jesus. My identity was changed. It was transformed. Hallelujah, I was no longer a sinner, but now I'm a preacher. I was no longer addicted, but now, hallelujah, I'm free in the power of the Holy Ghost. Anybody else know what it's like for the Lord to turn it around, for the Lord to deliver you, for the Lord to set you free? Oh, come on, I'm looking for a couple more people who have a testimony. You've tasted what the world has to offer, hallelujah, but today you're willing to say, I am set free, I am delivered, I am saved. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, God, hallelujah. He saved me. He protected me. He brought me out. I thank God today because I can truly say everything is because of Him. My wife, hallelujah, I met her at church with church friends. Hallelujah. And though we've only been married for 12 years, she's been the best thing that's ever happened to me besides God. Hallelujah. Praise God, she's not walking out on me, and I don't have the fear, praise God, that she's doing something on the side. Why? It's because I see her walk with God, and God blessed her, and God's using her, and she's been saved and set free. Listen, there's some reassurances when you're part of the kingdom of God. Oh, praise God. Oh, my children are from the Lord. My house. There's no way I could have bought my house when I did. I don't know why a young married couple, we were working at Dunkin' Donuts at the time. Literally, her and I were both working at Dunkin' Donuts. But something came over us where we said, we need to buy a house. We didn't have any money. We had to borrow money for a down payment. I remember so many times thinking to myself, what in the world are you doing, Aaron? I know, I just felt in prayer we needed to buy a house. So we bought a house. Today that house is worth 4 times what we bought it for. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, this isn't Aaron time, but this is Aaron testimony time. Hallelujah, it's worth 4 times what we bought it for. Listen, a lot of you, you're struggling to pay the bills. I'm so sorry for you. All I know is that about 12 years ago, God led me to buy a house, and because of it, today we can live off of one income. My kids can be homeschooled, and it's all because of Jesus Christ and His help and His mercy and His grace and His provision. Oh, I'm here to tell you the best life is a life living for Jesus Christ. The best life is a life consecrated to the Lord and surrendered to God today. If you don't know him, you can get to know Jesus today. If you've never prayed, let today be the first time you pray. If you've never repented, let today be the first time you repent of your sin. And I can only say this now. I couldn't say this back then. But today I celebrate salvation. And specifically, I celebrate godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation. What does that mean? There's a reason we all ended up here. Maybe some of you never walked away from God. Maybe you were born and raised on the pew and then it became chairs as churches went away from pews and you've just never left. But the rest of us, we've gotten into some mess. And I thank God that that mess brought conviction. You're here today because there is such a thing as godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. It's separate. It's different than worldly sorrow. Worldly sorrow, it brings you to a plate of condemnation and depression. Honestly, this isn't even in my notes. I don't know why I'm going back here, but God's just hammering the last few weeks condemnation. Worldly sorrow brings condemnation, which says you're no good, you can't do it, you might as well give up. As I preached on last week, that voice is of the devil, amen? But there is such a thing as godly sorrow. There is a pain that leads to redemption. And today, maybe you felt some pain the last couple weeks. Maybe you've felt some pain the last couple months. Maybe it's been years where you've been feeling some pain within you. An emotional distraught. An issue within you that says there's got to be more. That is the godly sorrow which is working in you. Why is it godly sorrow? It's because it's pushing you to call out to Jesus. It's pushing you to repent of your sins. Would you have come to church if you hadn't had pain? Would you have come to the altar if you hadn't felt depressed? Oh, but I'm here to tell you, it's only godly sorrow when it is turned into repentance and salvation. So if you today have been feeling that pain, here's my suggestion. Repent. Repent of your sins. Call out to Jesus and ask him to help. The Bible says he is a very present help in the time of need. Anybody else need him today? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, anybody else need him today? You say, I need you, Jesus, to work in my life. I need you, Jesus, to deliver me from sin. I need you, Jesus, to deliver me from this worldly sorrow. I need you, Jesus, to take away my depression. Whatever it is, he is here today, and he is moving and answering prayers. All you got to do is cry out to the Lord, and the Lord will save you. For it's godly sorrow with worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. I celebrate godly sorrow. And today, I celebrate the gospel. I celebrate the gospel. Because though it was godly sorrow that brought you through the door, walk in through the door of the building. And let me be clear here. I love HPPC. I think this place is the most amazing place. I'm so thankful for my church. But walking through those doors don't make you saved. Praise God. All right, well, God bless you. You can go home. Walking through those doors don't make you saved. Sitting down and listening to a sermon doesn't make you saved. Only Jesus can save you. There is only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. Somebody shout that name today. Hallelujah. It is Jesus. Anybody thankful for the name of Jesus today? Today I celebrate the gospel. I celebrate what Jesus has done for me. I celebrate the good news of salvation because it is the gospel and obedience to the gospel that has saved me. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. It says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How could I be ashamed of the gospel of Christ? How could I be ashamed of the fact that Jesus died on the cross? Jesus was buried in a tomb and Jesus rose again. How could I be ashamed when that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth? It's the power of God. If you want salvation today, you need the gospel. Somebody tell me what the gospel is. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We get that from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. I know that the word gospel means good news. It's talking about the good news of Jesus Christ. But Paul broke down what the good news is specifically. He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What's the topic? The gospel. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. You've got to receive the gospel, and you got to stand in the gospel. Amen. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved. It is the gospel that saves. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Verse 3, for I delivered first of all that which also I preached, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins. Everybody say death, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. Everybody say burial. Jesus died on the cross and he was buried. Hallelujah. Thank God the story doesn't end there. Because listen, if you want, God will forgive you of your sins. God will set you free from the past mistakes. But that's not all that God has for you. He doesn't want to just kill off the old man. He wants to make you a new person in Christ. He wants you to rise again in the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. Born again. Praise God. And that's where he says, and he was buried and he rose again. Everybody say resurrection. According to the scriptures. So what is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. I was thinking about this morning. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." The Bible says that he was under so much pressure and stress that his sweat glands began to produce driplets of blood. That's the anguish Jesus was in at that moment. Yet Jesus still said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Like a lamb to the slaughter, he allowed them to spread out his arms. At any moment, hanging from that tree, he could have called angels down to save him. But Jesus did not. He chose to die for you and for me. I thank God for the death of Jesus Christ. I thank God for the gospel. And that he would allow that body to be placed in the earth. This is God who is in heaven. It was enough that he'd allow himself to be restricted in a body to a suit, a human body. But now he would allow himself to be completely buried in the world to which he was trying to save. But he must go down. He must be buried so that he may take the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and come out resurrected, declaring, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Hallelujah. And Jesus rose himself from the grave and walking in power and victory, just as an example to you and me, to show us we too can walk in victory. We too can walk in victory over sin, over flesh, over depression. If he was able to conquer the grave, then you can conquer alcoholism. If he was able to conquer the grave, you can conquer suicidal thoughts. If he was able to do it, then so can you. Why? Because you can be washed and sanctified. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that we must obey the gospel. How do we obey a story? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is a story. How do we obey a story? It might be a story, but it's also a pattern. A pattern established for all of mankind to be saved. Peter recognized that pattern on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, there were people there seeing them dance and shout like we're dancing and shouting today. And they asked the question, "What in the world is going on here?" There's some people today, you've probably been asking the same thing. What in the world is going on here? What is that? Are these men drunk? It's a little early to be tipsy, isn't it, Peter? Peter said, we're not drunk as ye suppose. There is a new wine, hallelujah, that we've been tasting, though, and it's come from the heavens, praise God. Hallelujah, he begins to preach to them on the day of Pentecost, Jesus. Everybody shout Jesus. He begins to preach to them that they crucified Jesus. That it was their sin that placed him on the cross. And we can look at this and stand set apart. How could they have put the Messiah on the cross? But let me tell you, it wasn't just they. That's right, Bob. And I did. And you did. Every person who sinned, you were responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. There was no such thing as death until there was sin in the world. Death is only here because of sin. And I'm having to pay the debt of sin because I've sinned and you've sinned. Brother Bob, I couldn't pay your debt of sin. Because I can't die twice. I couldn't do it. I only have enough currency in life to pay my debt of sin. Because I've sinned and I owe this debt. But what if there was somebody who lived who had no debt? What if there was somebody who lived who never sinned, not once? And then what if that person willingly died? The only person to ever live that didn't deserve to die willingly died on the cross. Why is that? It's because now he is the only person able to die in Bob's place. He died so you don't have to. He died. And the Bible says he went to hell. He descended into hell. He died and went to hell so that you and I don't have to die and go to hell. Oh, I celebrate the gospel. I celebrate the gospel. I celebrate my salvation. I celebrate what Jesus has done for me. Peter just preached a similar sermon. Maybe a little different. But a similar sermon to them on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible says that they were convicted in their heart. And they said, remember, that's godly sorrow. They had godly sorrow. And they said, men and brethren, what should we do then? If my sin put Jesus on the cross, then what do I do now? Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we see Peter's response. He said unto them, repent. Repentance, it's a term that means to do a 180. Back in the day in the military, they used to use this as a unit was marching. They declare repent, and that unit, the entire unit, would turn around and walk the opposite direction. That's what it means to repent. It doesn't mean that from this point on, you're never going to sin again. I wish that was the case. But what it means is that I am walking towards sin. I'm doing the things that I know God doesn't want me to do. But now I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk towards the Lord. Repentance is a decision to turn around. Hallelujah. Won't you look to somebody next to you and tell them, turn around. Turn around. Hallelujah. Listen, if you keep walking towards sin, the only thing that's going to get you is regret, pain, and death. But if you walk towards the Lord, if you walk towards the Lord, it's going to bring you grace, love, and salvation. Somebody turn around today and go after Jesus Christ. Repent. Everybody say repent. And be baptized. Everybody say baptized. What is that? That is burial. Romans 6 and 4 says that we are buried with him by baptism unto death. In other words, as Jesus was buried in a grave, so must I put that old man in a grave. I got to make a decision today. I'm not going back to that person I used to be. I am putting them in a watery grave. I'm leaving them behind, and I'm going on to a new future in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody say Jesus Christ. I was talking to a Trinitarian preacher, and he wore a shirt that said this very verse, Acts 2:38. He said, man, I love that shirt. And I didn't know him worth anything. I saw the shirt and said, hey, man, I love that shirt. He said, that's wonderful. I just got done baptizing 20 people in the water. I said, oh, that's wonderful. I said, well, let me ask you something. How'd you baptize them? He said, oh, I know where you're heading with this one. You want to know if I baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or if I baptized them in the name of Jesus? I said, yeah, actually, I do, because on your shirt, it says to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I got one person clapping on that one. Praise the Lord. He said, well, brother, I just don't think it's that important. I said, all right. I said, let's do this. If you need to be buried next to your family, then how about we just find somebody with a different name in a different burial, a different plot. Let's bury you there if it doesn't matter. So, well, that doesn't make sense. I want to be buried next to my family. So, well, then why are we so cavalier on how we're baptized? I said, if I am buried with Jesus by baptism unto death, then I want to make sure it's his grave or his name on the tombstone. Anybody know what I'm talking about today? Hallelujah. I'm not buried with any other name or title. I'm buried in the name of Jesus. Doesn't the Bible says there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus? The name itself means Jehovah that saves. If you want salvation today, if you want to obey the gospel, then you've got to get baptized in the name of Jesus. Everybody shout amen. Praise God. And if you've not been baptized today, we've got baptismal robes. We've got towels. You don't even have to get your clothes wet. You can be baptized today in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. Hallelujah. Come on now. Anybody been baptized in the name of Jesus? Do I got some support here today? Repent, be baptized for the remission of sins, meaning it's completely undone when you're baptized. It's a fresh start, brothers and sisters. It's a new beginning. You don't have to have the same regrets as you did before. Why? Because you can just say, that's who I was. But I've been washed, hallelujah. I've been washed, and I've been sanctified, and I've been justified. You should be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. Everybody say gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Hallelujah. The gift of the Holy Ghost is, everybody say is, the reason Jesus came to the earth. It was not just so that he can deliver you from your past, because he can wash away the past, but what about the present? Am I right today? Hallelujah. What about the present? Am I talking about somebody today where you know, hey, yeah, I can get rid of the past, but I still am addicted. I still am struggling. I'm still having a hard time. That's why God gave the Holy Ghost a gift to us. He fills us with his Spirit. And we become new creatures. Jesus said it like this: we are born again. And in this new life, you don't have the same addictions. You don't have the same sorrows. You don't have the same pain. You can walk on with newness of life. Oh, there's somebody today. God wants to change your life today. He wants to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. And when I say somebody, I mean everybody. Somebody say everybody. For the promise. What is the promise? It's the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise of the Holy Ghost is for you, is unto you. Everybody say, that's me. And to your children and to all who are afar off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God's going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And listen, today I'm not asking you to do something weird and come down and repeat after me, hobity hoobity hoobity. I'm not asking anything like that. I'm just saying, if you repent of your sins and you're baptized, you're going to come out like they did in Acts chapter 10. And Acts chapter 19, where the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they began to speak with other tongues. Hallelujah. When my son was born, we had to have a C-section. And they've got this, and if your dad or anybody ever had it, as the dad, I was... sitting up, they have this big sheet in front of you, and all I have is my wife, her head, and her arms up there, and I'm holding her hand, and I can see them over there, and her body's moving. They even asked, do you want to stand and look? And I did a couple times. It wasn't something I wanted to see again, so I stopped. Hallelujah. But we sat there, and my wife kept asking, is it done? Is it done? She doesn't feel a single thing down there. So she couldn't tell what was happening. Is it done? Is it done? I said, I don't know. I don't know yet. I don't want to look again. I don't know. Is he here? She kept saying, I don't know if he is here. Then all of a sudden we heard it. That sweet, beautiful cry of the baby. Today, that sweet, beautiful cry is not so sweet and beautiful anymore. But that day, that sweet, beautiful cry was amazing because it told us he's alive. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. That's why you begin to speak in tongues. It's not because you got to do this or that or be weird. It's because it's simply the Holy Ghost coming over you and you begin to speak in other tongues. It's God's sign to you and the rest of the world. You're now alive in the kingdom of God. You've now been born again. You are a new person in Christ Jesus. Oh, anybody else today happy? You've got the Holy Ghost. Come on. Anybody else no, you've been filled with His Spirit. You can say, thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the evidence of speaking in other tongues. How about we all stand to our feet today? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Hallelujah. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. I hope today you've been listening to the word of truth. Listen, I've used enough verses. You can say, oh, that pastor doesn't know what he's talking about. I've been using Bible. So it's not my words. It's the Bible. You heard the word of truth in the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that, listen, I've preached it to you. Now you've got the responsibility of believing. You've got the responsibility of receiving it and saying, the pastor's right. I need to repent. I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Listen, there's some people, and I feel this in the Holy Ghost. There's people who in this place, you were baptized years and years and years ago. You don't even remember. You've lived a whole lifetime since then. You've walked away from God. You've done things you're not proud of. I'm not saying that baptism wasn't effective, but I'm saying today you can be baptized again. In the name of Jesus Christ, you can wash away everything. Amen. All you got to do is say, I believe. Mark 16, 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I believe. Well, then you got to get baptized. They come hand in hand, don't they? If I believe, I'm going to be baptized. And if I believe and am baptized, then I shall be saved. It brings salvation. Why? Because when I'm baptized, then I can trust that I've believed and am baptized, that God's going to seal me with that Holy Spirit of promise. What's that? It's like God seals you up, puts His stamp on you. You believed, you repented, you were baptized, here's my Spirit. Now you're mine. Now you're my child. Now you're part of my kingdom. Now you're part of my household. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. So let me ask. Who today needs to repent of their sins? Who today needs to be baptized in the name of Jesus? I'm going to ask you to do something, church, that's going to make you feel really uncomfortable. And it's perfectly okay. Later you can put a cake in my face or something if you want. I want you to look to your neighbor and I want you to ask them, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? Church, I want you to make sure nobody is left behind. Don't let anybody go without being asked. If you notice there's somebody sitting alone, do the unthinkable. Take the long, long journey from your chair and your row over to their row and ask them, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? Now, if they said no, then I want you to ask him again, would you like to be baptized in Jesus' name? I didn't hear anybody ask on that one. Hallelujah. Everybody's all nervous. Look, you're not putting the pressure on. I'm the one putting the pressure on here. You're just doing what the pastor asked you to do. ask them, would you like to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ today? It doesn't have to be a show. It doesn't have to be anything like that. All we're doing is giving you the opportunity. I want to give you every opportunity to be saved, to be washed. If you said yes, I want you to find Brother Victor when we start this altar call. Brother Victor, I'm going to let you help them. And you and Sister, Sister Karen, Sister Joseph, can help the ladies. If you want to be baptized, listen, don't let it go another day. Why don't you start your new life today? Start your new life in the Holy Ghost today. The young people who are here, hallelujah, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? You can be baptized today. Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you, it's the most joyful thing you've ever experienced in your life. Hallelujah. And today, you can receive it. Praise God. So here's what I'd like to do. I want to invite everybody, and yes, I mean everybody, come down to this altar right now. Hallelujah. If you've been baptized, repented, Holy Ghost, if you did it 30 years ago, I still want you to come down to the altar. If you've not done any of that stuff, I still want you to come down to the altar. Listen, we're not here to do anything. I've put as much pressure on you that I'm going to put on you by asking you, do you want to be baptized? Hallelujah. We're not going to do it anymore now. All we're going to do is we're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Ghost. We're going to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Oh, that's right. Let's gather down here together. Hallelujah. And it's not the YouTube video either. It's the altar call song, okay? Hallelujah. The Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord and in one place. That's why we brought you down here. It's because what we're doing is we're joining together in unity and believing that right now God's going to pour out the Holy Ghost on you. And listen, this is not me. I'm not trying to brag, nothing like that. But God has blessed me to see many people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time. Many people who were nervous, like maybe you're nervous today. Many people who weren't all sure about it. Like maybe you're not all sure about it. Hallelujah. But you know what happens is God just proves how good He is. And here's a couple things I've observed. I've observed that people who have not truly repented have a hard time seeking the face of God and praying for the Holy Ghost. People who are not open-hearted, people who are hiding, they're scared and nervous. They have a hard time receiving the Holy Ghost. People who aren't willing to speak out loud. If the Lord's going to take your tongue, He's going to need you to speak out loud. So you've got to speak out loud. So here's what we're going to do is I believe every person is going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost this morning. I believe every person is going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost this morning. It doesn't matter if this is your first time or 100th time. Every person is going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But what we're going to do first is we're going to repent. And listen, we're not praying for the Holy Ghost right now. All we're doing is repenting. All we're doing is asking Him to forgive us. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's what my daughter says. My daughter says, I was afraid to tell you because I didn't want to get in trouble. But here's what the Bible says. If you tell them, you're not going to get in trouble. You're going to find grace, mercy. Right now, how about every eye be closed? How about we begin to pray and ask the Lord to forgive us? That's right. Would you just lift up your voice again in repentance? Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. And it doesn't matter if you've been in church for 30 years. You go ahead and repent right now. Lord, I ask your forgiveness for the sins that I've committed. I ask your forgiveness, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord God, to cleanse me from that sin. Lord God, the thoughts that I have thought, the actions I've performed, I ask you, Jesus, forgive me for the lies. Lord, forgive me, Lord, for the lust. Forgive me for the jealousy. Forgive me for the greed. Forgive me for the hatred. Forgive me for the unforgiveness that I've held on to from my family member. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for my actions. I am ashamed of my actions. Please forgive me. Please, Lord, bestow your mercy on me and your grace. Oh, hallelujah. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me, Lord. Take away every excuse, Lord Jesus. Lord God, take away every excuse. Lord, I turn my back on that old life. And Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You feel that? That is the Holy Ghost beginning to stir. Before we go too deep, hallelujah. Before we go too deep, church, we're going to go right back into it. But there's some people today who do need the gift of the Holy Ghost, who've never received it. Hallelujah. That's why today we're going to make this introduction just all over this place. I want you to lift up your hands. Hallelujah. And I want you to lift up your head. All you need to have to receive the Holy Ghost from this point is just an openness. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to release the Holy Ghost upon you. And when I tell you to, I want you to begin to lift your voice in praise. Begin to say things like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And right then and there, the Lord is going to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Are you ready, church? It's going to happen right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray. You see the hearts and minds of those who are in this altar right now. You see their openness and their desire to receive the Holy Ghost. So I pray in Jesus' name, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Release it now upon them. That's right. Lift up your voice right now. Lift up your voice. Begin to shout hallelujah. Rabasana. Oh, that's right, that's right, that's right. Don't worry about anybody else. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, in the name of Jesus, that's right, church. That's right.